It's a good old tune, isn't it? Let's go straight to Edinburgh no more. And Philip Archer Hayes standing by. Good morning, Philip.
Morning there, Ryan. How are you?
We're singing along to every line of that because that's from our relative youth, I think.
It's such a catchy little number, isn't it? It really, really is. No, you can't stop tapping your toes to that one.
For sure.
But not a song that I have actually heard since arriving here in Scotland.
I think it's a bit of the Derby O'Gills about it for them. Now, listen, let's get down to business. I woke like a political nerd child way too early this morning because I was dying to find out what happened last night. It was obviously rumbling on all evening. You had a long night, I suspect.
Yes, and it's funny how the mood has changed completely in such a relatively short space of time. At around about the time that you were probably tucking yourself up in your gym jams last night, they were still, the Yes campaign, that is, were still caleying outside the Scottish Parliament, and there was still a generally very kind of festive atmosphere around the place. But they were partying on a pretty slim kind of hope, a slim promise, as it turns out. Because as the first results started to come in from 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, places that they had thought, because of a working class vote, that they were going to get a strong yes vote turned out to be pretty much 50-50. Yes, no. Mm. And then as it rumbled on, even though there was a very big yes vote, a huge yes vote in Glasgow, 53.5% in favour of independence there, it just wasn't enough to make a difference. And this morning, by around about 5 o'clock, when the result came in from Fife, it was pretty clear, although the No campaign wasn't over the line, that was exactly what was going to happen. It was going to be a no vote. I think it was around about 5:30 that the BBC projected quite confidently that the referendum had been rejected. And the funny thing is how the mood has changed instantly.
Really?
Because yesterday there were people hanging around on street corners all wearing their little yes badges and chatting amongst each other about their hopes and their aspirations for the future and for change. And then, and you didn't hear from no people. They were, as it turns out, quite literally the silent majority. Well, I tell you, they're not that silent this morning, because the same kind of places that were being occupied by yes campaign voters chatting away amongst themselves yesterday, today, you see no campaigners, just as I walked down here, a small little group of people quietly cheering to themselves, saying, yeah, we won, didn't we? Yeah. And what a win.
Well, after that, it was a victory of I suppose, silent determination over a kind of loud and occasionally aggressive campaigning. And that probably didn't help matter at all when you saw the likes of Ed Miliband being jostled about the place, and those who couldn't quite decide were kind of going, I don't like the look of where this is going. I mean, there was, and then you had Cameron's very emotional claim for the union, and people were reflecting on this existential, geographical, emotional sense of Britishness that seemed to come out a lot in the last few days of the campaign.
On the aggressiveness thing, I'll be perfectly honest with you, and maybe we're just used to a more robust style of campaigning in Ireland, but I didn't think that it was particularly aggressive. And the negativity, such as it was not all coming from the Yes campaign, and it was not all the intimidation of No campaigners by Yes voters, because there was a good bit of traffic in the other direction as well. You might have seen that Andy Murray, the tennis player, came out in favour of a yes vote very, very late in the day. He sent a tweet probably around about this time yesterday as people were heading to the polls, and it was tweeted all over the place. But the abuse that he got back is actually something that's being looked into by the police. As you know, Andy Murray was from Dunblane, seen as that terrible massacre in a kindergarten, 25 years ago now. Yeah. And people in their tweets were referencing Dunblane and how they wished that Andy Murray had actually been in the classroom.
Oh, God.
So there was, you know, there was negativity going both ways. And it is actually one of the kind of the big questions now is, is that enduring? Is this part of the United Kingdom not that united anymore? Have some pretty nasty divisions, sectarian divisions, perhaps in some places, been opened up? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, look, it's certainly intriguing for Scotland, Northern Ireland, and as you heard David Cameron talking this morning on the steps of Downing Street, also implications for England. We'll watch that with great interest, no doubt. But in other news,
that is the absolutely fascinating part about all this, Ryan. That it didn't matter whether it was a yes or a no vote. There was going to be absolutely enormous change in the island just to the east of us. Either an independent nation was going to be born last night, or the various constituent parts of England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland are all now going to start making demands for more self-government, more power locally, and that is something that the Prime Minister this morning on the steps of 10 Downing Street conceded was just going to have to happen. There is huge, huge change afoot here.
Okay, so it's the United Kingdom, which is ever so slightly less united, if you can call it that, as a prefix. What happened to you yesterday? Why are you in all the papers today? They're saying you were mugged.
I'm absolutely scarlet about
this. Go on. What happened?
To be perfectly honest with you, well, you know as well as I know that the first rule of what it is that you do when you come out in places like this is do not ever become the story. And this kind of thing has happened to me on so many occasions in so many different places in the past. I have been arrested. I have been shot at. I've been bombed by the Americans on one occasion. And the rule is you just don't talk about it. You just don't report it. Okay. But I got mugged yesterday. I made the rather pragmatic choice to hang around and try and make contact with my mugger through a few other people and buy my kit back, which I did. And I was told by the guys who acted as intermediaries for me that I was lucky that I was Irish and not English, otherwise I probably wouldn't have got my kit back, given the day that was in it and the mood of the people who had taken it from me.
What did they take off you?
Oh, laptops, recording devices, wallet, mobile phone.
And what part of the city were you in?
Well, see, this is the interesting thing about it, and this is where we can get back to ground that I'm more comfortable talking about. I had heard, and it had been reported very widely, that there was an unrepresented class, that there were people that the polls just were not reaching here in the deprived estates in the major urban areas, people who had never voted before and who were going to turn out this time, and that the polls, wrongly as it turns out now, weren't calculating them, weren't seeing their vote show up in the projections for what was going to happen. So I thought it'd be interesting to go out and see, just say, now, how mobilised are these people who have never voted before? And I was having a very, very pleasant chat with a couple of lads who were very interested and very active, and I just caught sight of somebody out of the corner of my eye giving me, you know, that look, and I said, oh, that's trouble, that look. And I said thank you very much and started making my way out, and I was surrounded by four lads who took the asked me for the gear first. I said no thank you very much, but perhaps not as politely as that. And I got a puck in the gob from somebody who was standing over my shoulder, and handed the stuff over. But I said, lads, I'm going to have to buy that stuff back from you. You know, don't run away on me. Anyway, I went back to the other guys who I had been talking to, and I said, fellas, 50 quid in it for you if you go and find out who they are and tell them that I'll buy the kit back, because it's just not worth my while turning up at my broadcast point in a couple of hours' time empty-handed with no tape to show for and nothing to talk about.
So how long did it take for the lads to go off at their 50 quid?
Two bloody hours. They started the negotiation at £1,000. And I have to say, because, you know, the price of stolen goods in Edinburgh is obviously clearly one of my expert subjects, I said, lads, sorry, the contents of that bag is worth no more than 100 quid, and that's all that I'll give you for it. And it went backwards and forwards like that for a while before we settled on 50 quid finder's fee to the guys who acted as intermediaries and 150 quid for the kit.
That is it's kind of slightly bonkers story, but I Are you all right, by the way?
What's bonkers about it, I completely understand where our colleagues in the newspapers are coming from, because such was the timing of the election result that they weren't going to be able to write about it with any kind of accuracy at all. So they needed something that had happened over here. I fitted the bill because I was stupid enough to have put out a tweet, because I just thought it was interesting, the comment about you're lucky you're not English, otherwise you wouldn't have got your kid back. I tweeted that, and more fool me. Yeah. I will keep my mouth shut the next time.
The cursor, did they draw blood?
No. I mean, my ego is more bruised than
your face.
Bruised ego, sore jaw, and a couple of hours wasted, and £200 earned.
You could do worse things, but anyway, shouldn't take away from what's happening, as you say, in the big event, and we'll be watching and listening to your reports throughout the day. Philip, thanks for your time today. Look after yourself, and I mean that.
Take care, Ryan.
All
thank
the
you.
Best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. Philip Boucher-Hayes, a pro, I think it'd be fair to say to him, there working away in Edinburgh, and you can hear his reports, I presume, throughout the day, certainly on Radio 1, and he is a super guy and very good at what he does, to his credit. I'm a fan.